was a kid in Sunday school, all the children filed past a large painting of Jesus on the way into the classroom area. In the painting, Jesus was sitting in a field surrounded by young children about my age, speaking with them, engaging with them, interacting with them. He was even holding a small child in his arms. I came to really like that painting, and it was an important part of my experience as a young Christian. I'd look up at Jesus and know that he was always watching over me, and that he wasn't for adults only. Over the years, the painting became a familiar, comfortable, and visible sign that when I came to church, I was in a safe place. But as I got older and learned to read, I had a startling and troubling epiphany. You see, there were words underneath this painting, a Bible verse, and suddenly I could read them. "Suffer the little children, come unto me," it proclaimed. Wait a minute, I thought. Why would Jesus want little children to suffer? That wasn't my experience with Sunday school. I liked going. I liked learning about God. I liked my friends. All the teachers seemed nice. But maybe we were all just being set up for some great suffering to come. Maybe one day I'd walk in and instead of doing a craft and singing a song, we'd be strung up by our feet and tortured with boiling oil. Fortunately, my parents talked me off the ledge, and I soon learned my first lesson about the King James Version of the Bible. In Old English, suffer meant to permit or allow. So this verse didn't have anything to do with children suffering in Sunday school, but was translated as, "Let the little children come to me." Now that I could get behind. And suddenly all was again right with the Sunday school world. This morning we get a similar verse, one in which Jesus again interacts with children. He picks up a young child and says, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." Some cultural context is helpful to see just how radical a statement this was. In the ancient world, children weren't valued nearly as much as they are now. We hold our children in great esteem, caring for them, giving them trophies, and spending endless hours stressing about their futures and making sacrifices in our own lives to give them things we never had. We would literally do anything for our children. The children of ancient Palestine weren't going on school trips to Hawaii or getting ferried to hockey practice in the back of a Cadillac Escalade. They just weren't. I'm not saying these are bad things or that our approach is wrong. I'm just saying things were different back then. There was no Babies R Us in the biblical world, and the concept would have been completely foreign. Childhood was not particularly valued, partly because the infant mortality rate was so high, but also because unwanted children were seen as a huge drain on a family's resources. There was no child tax credit or government assistance for families, and there was certainly no birth control. So child abandonment was relatively common, and there was no real social stigma around it. Some died trying to fend for themselves. Others were forced into slavery. Others entered into what we would now call the sex trade. Simply making it to adulthood was a feat unto itself. Sure, many people of faith saw every human being as a precious creation made in the image of God, but Jesus took this to another level. Because even when children weren't being abandoned, they were still considered of little value. Children had no rights, no social status, no standing in the community. The biblical shorthand for the most vulnerable population has traditionally been widows and orphans. You hear this phrase again and again, and with good reason. Neither widows nor orphans had anyone to protect them or care for them or meet their basic human needs. And this is precisely the population that Jesus advocates for and ministers to and lifts up time and time again. You know, when I had young kids, I often found myself on the kitchen floor for no apparent reason. I mean, there was a reason. We were playing with trains or roughhousing or drawing on the Etch-a-Sketch. But eventually they'd get distracted and move on to the next thing. And I'd find myself all alone on the floor. Invariably, Brenna would then wander in, stare at me, shake her head, and leave. Now, the kitchen floor is a great place to have an existential crisis or reflect on the meaning of life. But being on the floor is actually a wonderful posture for being more childlike in our relationship with Jesus. Just as we get on the floor to engage kids at their level, Jesus does the same for us. In grand theological terms, the incarnation was all about God entering the world at our level. But practically speaking, Jesus wants to engage with us, to be in our lives in very real and tangible ways, to mix it up with us and be in relationship with us. As adults, this is the spiritual challenge. We don't want to appear undignified or childlike, but this is precisely the way we need to approach Jesus, on the floor, as vulnerable children, open to the wonders and joys of creation, accessible to a relationship that has the power to move and transform us and fill us with that awe-inspiring feeling of being loved, not for what we do or for what we accomplish or for what we have, but for who we are as beloved children of God. We need to hear that message again and again and again. When we're hurting or in need of emotional or spiritual healing, there is no need for us to suffer in isolation. Regardless of age, we are all being watched over by a God who loves us not hesitantly or conditionally or with reservation, but with reckless abandon. Here at St. John's, our children may not encounter a painting with a confusing snippet of scripture, but we've undertaken a bold painting project of our own in the Sunday school wing. We've engaged a local artist to paint words and phrases from the Bible and the prayer book in the hallways in a fun, colorful style. It's about halfway done. And you'll see this as we hold coffee hour downstairs this morning as part of our Sunday school open house. Now, I'll warn you, the art is a little edgy for St. John's, a bit out of the box, as you might expect when you hire a graffiti artist, which we did. But I think it's fun. As Father Noah put it, it adds a little sparkle And I'm grateful to Alexis, our Sunday school director, and the Sunday school leadership team for dreaming up this wonderful concept. And if you hate it, as I've been saying to people, it's just paint. But I think it's fun. I think the kids will react wonderfully to it, and that is really the point. I also literally had a dream two or three nights ago that after meeting the artist and seeing some of the initial work, which was great, but I had a dream that the artist got confused and started painting the walls up here in the church. One of my mantras for ministry has always been, children having fun at church is a good thing. It is good for their spiritual lives. It is good for their souls. It is good for their future relationships and their current relationships with God and with the church. And I'd like to think this project reflects that. It highlights just how much we value the spiritual education of our children, while at the same time allowing them the space to explore their faith in fun and creative ways. We talk a lot about becoming more Christ-like around here as a sign of spiritual maturity, of growing in our faith and living it out in ways that impact those around us. But we could also stand to be more childlike in our approach to the to the Christian life, to embrace that sense of spiritual wonder and awe that comes naturally to children, but that often feels beat out of us as adults. Spend some time on the metaphorical floor. Interact with Jesus in playful, creative ways. And know that when Jesus says, "Let the little children come to me," he is also speaking intentionally and directly to you.